When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 1015 of Flow Wrestling Radio Live. I'm your host, Christian Piles, joined today by JD Raider, Ben Funky Askren. He's somewhere. I haven't seen him yet today. I've just heard his voice.
I'm right here.
He's right there. He's right there. There he is. Oh, he got a haircut.
No, I didn't. I got a haircut.
Okay, well, you just slept strangely on your head then. Sometimes that happens.
I did not shower this morning.
No shower, Ben. And I'm joined today by David Bray, who almost completely disrupted the entire start of the show when I asked him to shut the door. He said,
keep out the devil.
He said, keep out the devil, which is, for the you VBS goers back in the day, you know that's a classic song, yeah. Shut the Door, Keep Out the Devil. But for most of you, you may not know what that is, but it cracked me up.
What's VBS? I don't know VBS.
Vacation Bible School. I'm sure Amy probably takes your youngsters to that, if I had to guess.
I don't know if they go to that, actually.
It's fun. Maybe. Oh, they would love it.
It's like wrestling camp for church kids.
Yeah. Not as much weight cutting, but just as much shenanigans. Okay. Episode 1015. So here's what's going on in wrestling. We had Pittsburgh Wrestling Classic last week, Journeyman International, and then this week we've got Last Chance Olympic Trials Qualifier, which promised to be outstanding. Ben, where were you anywhere this weekend?
It was slow. Did you have some withdrawals? I was like, there's got to be some wrestling for me to watch somewhere.
Need your fix.
Well, shoot. I mean, I went to wrestling. We had a tournament on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Caleb's first freestyle tournament ever. We had one in San Marcos, Texas.
How you do?
He did, man. It was a movie, as the kids say. It was great. Well, all right. His first match, he lost. Kid's really tough. I mean, none of these kids are good, obviously, but this kid is good. Mm-hmm. But we wrestled him before, wrestled hard. Then the second match was crazy. He was down 8-0, and he comes back, and it's 8-8. And then he gets. Caleb has a uncanny ability to not protect himself very well. It's incredibly.
Whoa.
It's very stressful for me. Like, he just has really
like, he gets hurt a lot.
He just has bad instincts on how to, like, protect himself when he's in bad, like, he's just not graceful or just, like, understand that.
Yeah.
And he got dropped. He was on a high crotch and he got put right on his head, and he kind of, like, freaked out for a little bit, but then he wrestled back. He got it together, and he got a takedown in like the last 5 seconds. He won 11-10. And then he was still, like, really rattled. And then we wrestled this other kid we wrestled before, and he's beat us before. Kind of a good match. Well, this kid, he underhooks us, which we knew was going to happen. We worked on, but it didn't matter. And we got to rear standing, and Caleb's fighting hands standing straight up. And then we all know how this movie ends.
Uh-oh. And, boom, he got sent.
He literally got sent. He got sent, and he said it felt really weird. And I thought there was, like, an age you were allowed and not allowed to do that in freestyle.
Well, you can't go. I think you're not allowed to go straight back, but you could go, like, the shoulder one way or the other.
Yeah. Well, it didn't really matter.
That's fun.
Yeah. So then that was a tournament.
Is he schoolboy
yet? Okay.
Well, he's 12, but he has.
What year was he born in?
2011.
Oh, yeah, he's a schoolboy. 14
Social Security number.
I have no idea. I think it's like 9.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was
we
fun.
Had,
man, I tell you what. I don't, you know, I'm a folk style man. That's just kind of what, or at least when coaching, that's like my comfort level. But they did Greco and then freestyle. This tournament took like 45 minutes, the Greco portion. It was like they were getting in. Like four
pins in 1 minute or what?
Pins and it was so fast. It was so much faster than folk style tournaments. And even the freestyle, like, really cruised. We were in and out of there by, like, but yeah. We were out before lunch. It's kind of nice.
Nice. But anyway. Well, we had, Max took some guys to Journeyman. So he was out there. And then usually I do this extra Saturday morning practice, either Friday or Saturday, depending on the week, for our guys who are going to the U.S. Open. And I told Mitchell when I was at NCAA's walking around with the sign walker guy. Yeah. When I did that, I said, hey, you know, we'll be working out. If you're home for Easter and you want to come in. And he said, I will be home. I said, well, hey, do you just want to run it? And then he said, yeah. And so I thought, oh, I should just do a camp so he can make a few bucks because college kids don't have a lot of money. And we did a camp and he sold out. So then we did a second camp. So he did two camps for us. It was great.
Doubles of the camps?
Well, it sold out in like an hour and then, or sorry, well, a day. And then people were mad at me because they didn't get in. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I said, Mitchell, would you please do another one? And he said, sure.
How many, what does he go over? How to wrestle at the same pace?
Yeah, he just said, go live. And then they went live for 2 hours.
That'd be so funny.
No, it was a lot of his hand fighting and, you know, hand fighting entries into attacks and that type of stuff.
What would you say is the signature or the hallmark of his hand fighting?
Well, you know, it's really changed since he went to Penn State. You know, I guess there was a lot of things he already did, but then he's definitely added some more unique things to it. So it's good.
Well, I know it's good. What's specific? What is?
I can't tell you all his secrets.
It's not a secret. We all watched him.
It is a secret.
I'm asking. It is. Really? You can't see where his hands are?
I don't know. Listen, if it was if it was something I did or something I taught, I would tell you. You know, if it's someone else's business, I'll let them tell you. If you want to ask him,
no,
you ask
no. That's not why you're here, Ben. Yeah. You're here to say, hey, when I watch, he does this. He's really
I'm
good.
Here.
Over collar or inside
of all my athletes.
No, it's not a secret. You're really not even going to talk about what he's good at in hand fighting?
What he's good, I mean, he can. I mean, one. I guess the biggest thing would be he continually moves, which that's. I mean, that's where a lot of people fail is they lock in and they sit in a very specific tie for, you know, a prolonged period of time, which is not good, right? So he's consistently moving from tie to tie, which is that's how you be most effective in your hand fight, right? That's really important. So I guess if I don't know if that's not a secret. That's that should be obvious for viewers, and most people just aren't disciplined or determined enough to do that. So I guess that's a. You know, that's something.
That is definitely something.
Yeah.
I'm very curious about what the plan is, you know, for Penn State's lineup next year, because there's so many variables. And I was listening to a podcast with, it's the Locked On Nittany Lions podcast, but Jeff Byers was a guest on it. And he was kind of running through all the scenarios. And he was saying, and he confirmed some things that we knew, like Levi's big.
Oh, tell me. Levi's big.
He talked about it as like, it was not, you know, it was tough. And we've kind of been talking about that for a while, but then he just keeps making 57 and winning like every match he wrestles.
Yeah.
But that's a thing. But he also said for the first time, I think we've talked about it, is that Braden Davis, pretty big, difficult pull at times. And I did think kind of at Big Tens, I remember seeing him like, he is kind of good size. And so you wonder for next year, they have flexibility with Braden because he could redshirt still if he wants to go up to 133. He could stay at 25. They also have Luke Lilladahl, which I'm curious, David, as from the high school perspective, as you watch him, does he look like someone that, and predicting this is like literally impossible with 25-pounders, but is it something where he can make it this year, so you should wrestle him this year while he can still make it?
Yeah, I mean, I think Luke Lilladahl, I think he's going to have probably long-term designs on 57 kilos, and that doesn't always mean they're going to stay at 125 in college. Obviously, Vito and Dayton Fix are in that category, but yeah, I think he can make it this year. I mean, he's beating NCAA finalists on the freestyle circuit already. I think that's a guy that is going to be 100% ready to go this year, or 2024-25, and I think they'll use him.
Yeah, I think if Braden is big for 25, then they've got good synergy there.
But Nagao's got a whole bunch of years left. Two more years, yes.
Okay. Yep. And, you know, I want. Oh, another thing Jeff said was basically like by the end of last year, Kasich, or the end of this year, so like 2 weeks ago, Kasich was a full-size 49-pounder, which...
He did look like that.
He did look like that, and it's something you see with these true freshmen. It's not all that uncommon. You know, they're still growing just 1 year out of high school. But that makes Bo returning at 141 maybe, and he said this also, like, very likely that Bo does return now. Seems like almost a certainty that he's coming back at 141. And so for Kasich, he could redshirt. Is he going to want to is another question, but Van Ness is returning. So we'll see. And then do Mitchell and – I think we talked about this on the last show. Do Mitchell and Levi do a flip-flop? That would be interesting.
I don't know.
You don't know. We know Ben doesn't know.
I don't
Ben,
know.
Ben won't confirm that.
I'll bother him.
Ben won't confirm that Mitchell uses an overcollar. I don't know. The idea that we're going to get any sort of insight.
Why should I wouldn't sell secrets?
It's not
I'm
a
sorry
secret.
I'm not selling my athlete secrets.
It's not
secrets.
A secret.
You're not paying me. I pay me double. I might share some secrets on
pay
you.
Pay you double?
You got to pay the Mitchell camp fee.
Hey, Mitchell. Yeah.
Pay the camp fee. You could have showed up.
I would have went.
You could have showed up.
You didn't tell me. Seems like you don't want me to know.
I actually just put it out on Tuesday, so you would have to, buy a late flight. It, Caleb probably would have got more work than at the swashbuckler freestyle tournament.
Listen, this was an elite tournament. You know that because it's literally in the title. It's called the Elite Throwdown. Only the elite or those with $20 could enter. So
there you go.
That's how you know.
Well, Mitchell's camp was only 40, so I think you would have got
Dang.
Your worth.
We could have entered freestyle and Greco for $40. We didn't do Greco. It was funny because he's like, I probably should have done it. But he hates Greco like more than maybe any living American right now. And he's like, maybe I should have done it. And then after he got dropped on his set, it's like, just do freestyle.
You know, Christian, if you move to Wisconsin and we set up a studio, I would continue on FRL. If it was live and in person with you in the mornings,
that would be fun.
Training at AWA sounds like the perfect solution.
I would freaking love that. Don't threaten me with a good time. That'd be fun. I could live in Wisconsin. There's some pretty parts.
Would you think you try to get a house in Haunchyville?
Oh yeah, that's where. See, I that's a growth area. Nowhere to go but up. It's kind of like some parts of Detroit we stayed in. During the NCAA.
Great prices on Airbnbs.
Oh my gosh. Great prices. They still
needles included.
I get so mad at my children and my father because they loved I am good. I have great judgment on Airbnbs for years and years. Strong track record, nice places. One time in Detroit, we stayed. It was a horrible, truly horrible place. And they act like every time we get a place, they're like, is it like Detroit? No, it's never like Detroit. It's been like Detroit one time.
Never forget.
But they never forget. They don't. And they won't let me forget. Good for nothing, kids. Okay.
Ben, how much Greco do you train? At all? Any?
You know what? In Heartland, my the location I'm at, they badger me so much. There's a few parents. I'm not going to name them. Then they get mad I don't send enough emails about the Greco class. Like, beat it. So Sinclair and Stromberg, they're doing their practice, and then they're teaching a Greco practice afterwards for the youths, the younger youths.
Okay. So not the high school kids. It's more like middle elementary.
I suppose the high school kids could show up if they wanted to. But, Stromberg, Grant Stromberg and Aiden Sinclair will be teaching the class. It's at 7 o'clock tonight if you're an AWA member and you want to show up. And then it will go 7 weeks, I think, until maybe Memorial Day or something like that.
How long have you been using the high school kids to run certain classes?
Noah might have taught the Greco class last year. I'm trying to remember. Keegan and Mitchell and other high school kids have helped out with the ninjas in training for forever. Long time.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one time actually it was funny when and it's awesome because it's kind of the standards being set. But this dad said to me, Joe, the other day, this was a while back. This is when Mitchell won Junior World. So last August or whatever. He's like, yeah, when Mitchell, when Vince, his son, joined Ninjas, his coaches were Keegan O'Toole and Mitchell Messmerick were running that class. So it's pretty cool. Like,
that's
he signs up and you got two Junior World champions that are teaching the class together.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad. Yeah.
Well, very cool. Okay.
Interruption from the chat. Biggie US M says that he tried to get a job in Wisconsin so that he could move to attend AWA. He almost had it secured. So, Ben, I would just keep one spot open for this guy's kid. Don't know how old he is, but yeah.
Okay, we did. I said we never had a move in. We have had one move in. One family moved, and they didn't move very far. It's from Illinois. So, but that's the only move-ins we've ever had. We've never had any others. But at some point, I'm assuming some people will see the light, and they'll see that Wisconsin's a beautiful place to raise a family.
Biggie was a finalist for the job, so just keep a seat warm.
Keep a seat warm for the son of Biggie.
Which job?
He doesn't know. He didn't tell me.
CEO of Culver's.
That probably is.
Boom.
That'd be a good job.
Yep.
That would be a good job.
I'd apply for that. I'm not qualified, but I like their food. I think passion for the product is important.
Head of marketing.
Head of marketing. All I do is just talk about how tasty it is on this show. Okay. Well, I guess we talked a little bit about Penn State lineup. Another thing he said was like he floated – maybe Josh Barr 197 eventually. Does he want to go up
there? Barr.
So big Barr.
Well, we got two Mirasolas coming in up top.
Yeah.
Got Zach Ryder.
Zach Ryder. It'll be crowded. I'm curious for Carter.
Very crowded.
You know, if he comes back, obviously he'll be 74. Or I wonder this. Does Carter say, hey, I want to go out big and happy? Maybe he just goes 184.
But he's a legend. Okay, so I think we maybe start giving this some more credence. He's still saying he's going 74 kilograms, and it's only 18 days away or something.
Yeah.
So he must have plans on making the weight. We've all for a long time kind of dismissed it and said, dude, he's not making that weight. I did look at him on the stage, and he didn't look quite as big as maybe I had thought, so maybe he can make it.
I remember at the All-Star, I remember thinking, these guys, I think it was probably off mic, but like Makai, or might have been on, Makai and Carter wrestled, and then Parker and Truex came out, and David was like, I think those last guys are literally bigger. Like, they just looked huge. They were
who,
so
Makai and
Carter?
Carter?
They looked really big. They obviously weren't bigger, but they looked so big.
Okay, well, it's 18 days away, Christian, so you're saying he's not going to make weight or what?
I said of course he's going to make it.
It's on a vision quest.
You better make the weight, son.
He's going to make it, no problem.
Especially now that he has to end Jordan Burrow's career.
He did say that.
Ooh, he did say that.
He did say that. I've been thinking about that whole thing. The whole thing bugs me. I don't even know if
why does it bug you, Christian?
Well, because, one, I think it was just an enormous overreaction from Bo Nickel in terms of what Jordan said. Cause I went back, cause I hadn't listened to it, cause I was there. I was like, all right, well, must not have been good. And I listened to it. And the first time Cormier literally asked him, he didn't bring up Cormier, which, you know, maybe there's reasons for that. And then he does.
Cormier, see, listen, I do a podcast, Cormier, and I'll tell you, you got to watch out with him. Cause you know what Cormier does? He's a perpetual instigator. Like, yeah. he knows what's going to get people fired up. And sometimes when he asked me a question, I said, Daniel, I know what you're trying to get me to say to get everyone upset.
Yeah.
So stop right now.
Yeah. And so he asked, and Jordan was basically like, no question. Yeah, you attack, you know. I think he said, yeah, absolutely. You go after that leg. And then Carter talked, I think it was after his post-match interview where he says, April 19th, 20th, was what I'm thinking about. And Jordan, I think, mentioned it again. Like, yeah, I'm definitely going after it. Which, what bothered Bo is that Jordan, he said that Jordan made it about himself. But I feel like there's like sort of a misunderstanding from Bo's perspective of why Jordan is there to be Jordan Burroughs, because he is Jordan Burroughs. He's not there because he is this gold standard color commentator for the sport. He's there because he is Jordan Burroughs. He is an athlete that is still in competition, and like his lens and how he looks at things is like the reason he is actually there. And I thought he gave the appropriate amount of like credit and compliments to Carter for how well he's done. So what I've concluded is this: Bo is either insanely sensitive, I don't think that's probably true. Or there's more to this story. There's Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, heat, beef, whatever, with Jordan. There's those guys go to camps together. All those guys are around each other all the time. To me, this is something where I was not cool. Like, but from Bo's perspective, I was not cool with Jordan. I've not been cool with Jordan. I don't appreciate the way he does X, Y, and Z. And he said this one thing, and that just kind of sent Bo maybe over the edge. Be like, all right, let me talk about this dude a little bit. And, you know, he's kind of the one thing that the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club is not like, that's the one hump they haven't gotten over yet. Even though Dake.
Unless you include Dake.
You don't include Dake.
He wasn't Nittany Lion.
He was not
time.
A Nittany Lion when he beat him. No Nittany Lion guys has beaten Dake. Now, well, if you bring
Christian,
him over, listen, if hey. You bring Zauerbach Sitikoff over to Nittany
Lion. Zauerbach Sitikoff signed with Nittany Lions.
Yeah.
they pay him lots of money.
But now, it does feel like that time is done and feels like Jordan's going to get beat.
Hey,
this.
Think about how many Nittany Lion wrestlers are in the field at that weight class though to wrestle Jordan.
Insane. Yeah.
It's kind of dumb.
They got an army. Well, you know,
Levi, Facundo, Mitchell, Nolf,
Kyle Dake.
Starachi. Starachi, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I feel like Christian still doesn't think he's going to make the weight.
No, I only think he's going to make. You're the one that keeps bringing it up. I have no.
You just said he was bigger than Parker Kekeisen 3 minutes ago.
Well, yeah, I said that David said it, and I also said that was at the All-Star Classic.
Got it.
He's going to make
Parker Kekeisen could not make 74.
No, he could not. He's going to make. He's going to make the weight. The functionality is the question. If he says I'm going 74, I feel like he is going to make the weight, but how his body's going to react to that is the real question.
Tinfoil hat time. Maybe there's a little beef there between Burroughs and NLWC.
Yeah.
But Bo Nickel got a fight coming up. Is he trying to keep his name out there?
Well, that's the other thing. And again,
I don't think that's the case, but possibly.
I don't think it would. Yeah. I think keeping your name out there, calling out like the most famous wrestler that's ever lived is like maybe a move, but I feel like it's not really in the MMA playbook. Like you want to keep the heat kind of in your thing, you know?
I don't know. I would say some people think, and I do not think this is Bo, but some people think any press is good press.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching the, so he had the tweet and then I listened to his podcast afterwards. He's either a well-trained thespian or he genuinely feels this way. I think he genuinely feels the way he's saying, which means I don't think.
Well, what I'm saying is, and I don't necessarily think this to be the case, but is he playing it up a little bit and doubling down, tweeting that out, then talking about it on his podcast so people come in, tune into his podcast?
Yeah. I think it's more likely that
I mean, I haven't listened to that podcast.
Yeah. Played right into his hand.
Yep.
No, I think he probably just genuinely doesn't like Jordan. And that it probably rubbed him the wrong way. I didn't listen to how Jordan said it on the broadcast, but I think I said it the next Monday after the NCAAs is that, like, I have a really hard time believing Bo wouldn't go after an injury if the injury was, you know, if it helped him win the match. And he needed it. Like, maybe if the guy sucked and he could avoid it, he probably would. But if it wasn't the case, then he'd probably go after it.
I do think they said their beef wasn't with that fact. It was with the fact that he said that.
That he said
it. They said it was unprofessional.
Well, I mean, again, that's why Jordan is there, right? I don't think it's unprofessional. And, I mean, do you want honesty or do you want, like, him to just be like, no, I wouldn't. What if Jordan said, no, I wouldn't.
Think of the kids, Christian. Think of the kids.
What kids?
I wouldn't have believed him.
What kids are wrestling in the NCAA finals with the torn ACL? Like, that's not, or whatever he's got. I don't know. I have no
no
idea.
Comment.
No comment. Obviously, a knee injury. But yeah, it's not relevant. I can't stand the what about the kids. This is not kids. These are not NCAA. I like the Charles Barkley. I was like, it's not like, he didn't say anything that morally bad. It's like, no, you're slow in this way. If
we get it. You're Michael Jordan. F them kids.
Yeah.
Was it Michael that said that?
I don't think he actually said it. But
that's like the meme?
Because it was something with shoes. He didn't or something.
Well, the shoe thing was, he said that Republicans buy sneakers too.
Maybe I'm mixing that up with something else. But I thought like he like didn't donate shoes or took some shoes away from a donation, and that's where it started.
No.
I misremember.
I don't know about you guys, probably not, but I just rewatch probably once a quarter. I rewatch The Last Dance. It gets me so pumped up and inspired. It's incredible.
Wasn't that like a 10-hour series or something?
Yeah, I just do it.
How do you watch it all? What do you do with your life?
Well, I mean, I don't just sit down and watch. You know, you're traveling or whatever. You know, there's plenty of time to watch shows. You know, while
Caleb, leave me alone. I'm watching The Last Dance again.
Honestly, I want him to watch it, but it's so profane that I don't think he'd like it.
That was fun when those were coming out in real time during 2020.
Yeah.
And we all watched them together.
We talked about it on FRL. We had Lee Roper come on and break down the latest episode of The Last Dance.
Oh, my gosh. Did you guys see what was on Twitter?
There's a lot of stuff on Twitter. You got to be a little more specific there, bud.
Was it, good chance. Yes, I will be more specific. Dana White was talking about how he loved Vision Quest.
Oh, yes.
James Park didn't comment.
He said it. And Lex Friedman said it was the greatest combat sports movie of all time.
Gosh.
I don't know what's wrong with
it. It's not a good movie, guys. I'm sorry. I know it. It has a special place in main wrestling people's heart. I'm not saying you shouldn't enjoy it.
Dana White said it literally affected his life.
That's beautiful. Well, that's good.
Where's Shane Sparks been, actually? He texted me last night. I should have asked him why he hasn't been on the show at all.
I don't know.
People are clamoring for a new Roadhouse movie review.
So, okay, we should watch it.
Wait, is that actually out?
It's out.
It's out.
I think it's you can watch it like at home now.
Amazon. I think it went straight to Amazon.
Straight to Amazon. Straight to tape. That's a good sign.
They use tape still? Look how old you are, Chris.
Yeah.
About tapes.
I think straight to tape is more like an industry term, or what do they call it? Yeah. But no.
Oh, hey, can I say one more thing about the Bo JB thing?
Yeah.
You know, I think the one thing that that they should maybe both acknowledge, and I think it's totally fine, is I think Bo was saying something about he's got a big ego or something to that effect, right? Yeah. And it's like, I mean, when you're the best in the world, like, and Bo does too, right? When you're the best in the world, you should probably have at least some ego, right? Maybe you don't want to get out of control, but I think that's just a little bit the nature of the beast. And so I kind of thought it was silly that Bo was saying that he's got such a big ego, and it's like, yeah, a little bit, but he has been the best guy in the world 7 times. So, yeah. You know, like there's probably some ego there. It's not a big deal. And Bo has some also, it's also not a big deal at all.
I think you kind of have to almost to be, to get to that level. And there's like a lot of recently there was this hit piece that came out on the LSU women's basketball head coach. And basically the moral of the story is, she's just kind of mean.
Yeah.
But like,
she's mean?
Apparently. I didn't actually read it, but that was the main takeaway.
That's it?
More or less. But I think to get to the level where you are the best in the world at anything or in the top, you know, X percentile, you have to be a little egotistical. You have to be a little mean. You have to be crazy to be that good at something.
Yeah. Who is, you know, at the height of their craft and doesn't have that.
Who isn't a little insane?
John Jones?
Yeah.
It's like, he's the one guy I can think of. I mean, DC for sure. Ben Funky Askren, obviously. Notorious.
No, I mean, I said this before.
One time Ben Askren said, they asked, what is the percentage chance that you'll win NCAAs? And he said, 100. And they said, well, what if your plane crashes? He's like, well, that is such a small percentage, it's actually negligible. So it's still 100.
Still 100. listen, I wasn't wrong. No. It definitely was 100. So, oh my God. I think it's important. I said this about the brands is, I think there's something that you have in your younger life and your competitive life, which drives you to be the best. And then as you step out of that arena as an active competitor, that you need to turn off because it's not healthy to have in your regular life. And I think that is the case. Is like there are ways I felt when I was, you know, 23 or 25 and I was competing and I was, you know, a lot more aggressive and maybe And I probably didn't have as big of a chip on my shoulder as some of these dudes do, but it's a little chip on the shoulder that you constantly want to prove that you're the best and you're just ready to compete at all times. And then as you get older and you take yourself out of the competitive arena, you need to kind of step back. But these guys are both in the competitive arena, so they should have some chip on their shoulder. They should have some ego. It's completely healthy. And that's probably what they need to be really, really elite.
Yeah. I would say it's interesting with the coaching dynamic in wrestling, because like, football is a team sport. It's really important. Like, the team aspect always is highly important. But like, for every wrestling coach was once a wrestler and likely a very good one. And that's like a very selfish yes. pursuit. And then you step into coaching, which is like the most, you know, it's very selfless, and you have to be thinking yes. broadly and about the team. And it's just a really, it's a big, probably, I won't say the most in wrestling because I don't know, but like, it's one of the bigger flips in like, probably mindset. Where like, basketball is like, it's a team sport for sure. And
but to yeah. counter that, it's like, you hear Michael Jordan, nobody actually like really liked him, like wanted to hang out with him outside of
yeah
the practice room, unless they really like to gamble. Okay,
honestly, that's a great example though. It's like, I feel like, besides having that damn Nike deal where he made billions of dollars because he signed it when he was younger, like, I feel like he's almost struggled at a lot of the other things he's done yeah. in life, whether, you know, like in those positions, because he hasn't been able to turn that switch off. Then that switch is what made him such an elite competitor, and he probably needs to tone it down a little bit in the other pursuits in his life, and he hasn't been able to, and that's why he's kind of like, I don't know, bounced from thing to thing or struggled a little bit.
And it's because I think when you're the athlete on the court or field, mat, et cetera, whatever, you can control, at least partially, fully, if it's an individual sport, the outcome.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he's a Michael Jordan, when he became the owner of the Bobcats, he could not control what those athletes did on the court or in practice, etc., which was probably infuriating. It's why he was a bad teammate, or quote-unquote bad teammate. Some would say good teammate, but he demanded a lot of his teammates, more than a lot were willing to give. Which made them mad.
I'm going to be really irritated if Michael Jordan goes off about us, what we're saying about him. That'd be really frustrating for me.
I think he'd say, hit the nail on the head, probably.
What was the funny story? He, like, punched somebody in the face or something.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Yeah, he punched Steve Kerr. He also hit Will Perdue, who's really big. But, yeah. Anyways.
Like, that's probably not a guy you want to go play video games with after practice or grab a beer or something, but that's why he was the best baseball player of all time.
If you play video games, you're entering into a competitive arena and you probably want some of that. But
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
If you're really good at golf, you want to play with him, take his money.
Yeah. He loves gambling. Or throw the quarters at the wall. Yep. Like the security guys.
Oh, I saw that video. That was funny.
Yeah, it was called... Never mind.
Him and Shohei Ohtani would get along.
Oh, my gosh. Now, he didn't do it.
A lot of debt or something?
He better not have a lot of debt. He's going to make so much. He must make $100 million a year.
$4.5 million compared to what he makes isn't completely
but
egregious.
But didn't he defer a lot of his income?
Yeah, but that's because he makes so much in
conspiracy
yeah.
time. If you were a guy who knew... you have a gambling problem and go, I can't take all this money at one time because I will literally start placing $150 million bets. But a little self-discipline, a little self-knowledge. I can only do $1 million a bet here and there.
He probably called that. He probably got a tip from 1-800-BETS-OFF, and they were like, hey, here's a good idea. Defer your salary.
Defer your $500 million salary.
And then you literally can only bet so much.
It's a weird month. It's a weird thing, because he says
yes.
that his interpreter stole $4.5 million. It's like,
well, that's what he came around to. That's not what he said right away.
Yeah, well, he
said right away he lent him the money.
I lent him the money, but he actually stole it. Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like, are they really pressing in? They say...
MLB isn't doing anything.
Bro, they say this dude is like the biggest mystery. He's like, there's never been a star where it's less known. He like just randomly got married. His teammates didn't know he had a girlfriend. No one knows anything about this guy.
Also conspiracy time. That came out, what, a week before the news of his gambling came out? Was he trying to mask that a little bit? Hey, look at my pretty wife. Also, by the way, I gambled like millions and millions of dollars. But look at my wife.
Maybe she's the bookie and it's a spousal privilege thing.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Could be that. Yeah. We got that. That'll be for Thursday's episode to figure out.
Avery Gaming wants us to talk wrestling.
Oh, what are we talking about? It all connects, Avery.
I'm surprised Caleb even wrestled this weekend on opening weekend.
Oh, that was tough. Well, we got back for all the games. They lost, which they got swept by the horrible Yankees.
Oh, we're talking baseball.
We're talking baseball now. Just
the horrible Yankees, and you're an Astros fan.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, topic about we have the last chance qualifier, which I'm attending this weekend with some of our athletes.
Yes.
You guys have, I'm just kind of glancing through the article, the notes you put in our doc about the guys for next year, and you have Christian Carroll at heavyweight. Did you notice Christian Carroll is registered 97? At 97 kilograms, which I thought was interesting. They're trying to slim him down maybe because Doucette's got a year left, and then they got Cody Merrill coming in, and he's really large. So
I put him at 97 too. So I don't know what weight he's going to go.
Yeah, it seems like they want to bring him down, but everyone, it was funny because everyone's like, dude, Carroll's down. He's down to like 215. He's down to this. And then he weighed in for Iowa at like 230. I'm like, all right. So that was just fake news about him slimming
down. Not fake news anymore.
Well, if he makes, 213. But they were like, no, he's down now. He's like,
yeah.
And he weighed 230.
So Serber must be graduating then, I guess, I'm assuming.
I don't know, but either way, I feel like it makes the most sense to bring him down to one. If he can make 197, which we'll see. Everyone thinks making 97 kilos is like, that's still 16 pounds.
It's not
like,
close.
He makes weight, he's 16 over for the collegiate weight. It's like,
yes.
They're not super connected. So,
no.
I know they're the same numbers, but it's a little
different. Put a one right there.
He's put a little,
there you go.
Yeah, it's fine. So I don't know. We'll see. But if he can make it, yeah, I think it makes sense to have him down at 197 because Serber was not the same guy this year. Is he going to be able to get right for next year? I don't know. But
so he does have eligibility left.
Oh, I don't even know.
No.
I just assume everyone does.
We don't know.
Pretty much.
But
we were talking about it this morning. Pretty much every weight class was like returns 27 to 30 qualifiers.
It's insane. 125 wild, huh? Returns, 149 returns 28, 141 returns 29. Like we're just gonna do last year over again, basically. And honestly, yeah.
It did feel like though when I looked through that doc is that there's at the very least a couple top contenders out. Like there's nowhere where it's like the same. So like 133 for example, six of them return, but you get rid of the top, one and two. I guess 41 would be the closest because you don't get rid of much there. Mm-hmm. Will Woods is really it.
And you bring in a top dog, too, though.
Yeah, that redshirt this year.
Well, and I wonder, is he 41 or 49? Does he go down?
Good question.
We'll see him at trials.
Yeah.
Doucette does have another year.
But he was asking about Serber.
Ah, yes, yes.
Serber. Yes.
23 qualifiers are back at 28 at heavyweight, 23 at 97. Yeah.
This will be Serber's last year, 2025.
165 returns 30 of the 33 NCAA qualifiers.
30? That's crazy.
Loses the national champion, though. And, of course, Keegan is maybe going up, maybe.
I think that's a distinct possibility.
Well, there you go.
Boom.
All right, so what do we want to talk about here, gents?
I'm looking at last chance qualifier weights.
Yeah, talk about it.
Well, I'm looking at 86. That's where Sinclair's wrestling. Top contender. You have some serious senior level contenders. You have McFadden, Lujan, Nelson Brands, Foca. I think Morgan McIntosh maybe is in this. Yeah. Morgan McIntosh. And then the Simon Ruiz kid. I don't really know much about him, but he had a pretty good – I was looking at his wrestling. He had a pretty good year. So, pretty solid weight class there.
Owen Webster's tough too.
Yep, he's tough, 100%.
Do they do wrestlebacks at the last chance qualifier? We should look that up.
They said they do, but it does seem weird when you're taking literally the first place person, and the event is 2 weeks later. So even if the first place person were to get hurt, you would still have the second place person because you have a finals. So they are doing wrestlebacks, but it seems like, why would you do wrestlebacks? Mm-hmm. It seems kind of silly.
It's a good opportunity.
UWW doesn't even do finals if top two qualify.
Yeah.
Seriously, right?
Yeah, but you're under the impression that they do?
It definitely lists the WrestleBacks in the, like, you know, under the schedule.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me, but I like it. It's going to be forfeit city, no doubt, but
oh yeah.
If you come all that way, get some matches in at least.
That mat time for those.
But that's like, I don't know, like, to me,
I'm thinking about the high schoolers. I want to see them wrestle.
This is dumb, though. Like, why would you go to the last chance to get mat time? There's plenty of places to get mat time, but it's literally called the last chance. And the only number one guy goes, so all of the rest of it seems irrelevant. And if you want to get mat time, go somewhere else.
Well, to be fair,
you got the P&L championships this weekend. If you want mat time, show up at the P&L. You get like seven matches.
What, so David McFadden should go to the P&L championships?
Nelson Brands rolls. Yeah,
we'll let him in. If David McFadden wants to wrestle, we will let him in.
What about Morgan McIntosh? Can he go?
He's a little too old. We'll consider.
But he was a troop. That's got to count for something. If you let McFadden in and not McIntosh, I'm pretty mad.
Fine. You're un-American. All right. Morgan McIntosh, you're in. If you want to skip the last chance.
We got Morgan.
Go to P&L, you're in.
All right. That's big. Should I let him know?
Let him know.
All right. I'll tell him.
But seriously, though, for a lot of these guys, like, you're signing up for the last chance. You should know what you're signing up for. There's only one spot here. It does seem dumb to me that they would be wrestling all these WrestleBacks.
I'm fine with it.
Efficiency.
All right, 97 kilograms.
Yeah.
Top contenders. So I have Cole Marisol attending this weight. Top contenders, probably Jacob Warner, Camden McDaniel, and Christian Carroll.
That's thin.
How do you feel about that?
That's
thin.
If Delgado's Michael Boykin, tough.
He's pretty tough.
Who? Who did you say, JD?
Delgado.
Oh, Delgado.
New Jersey guy.
Really?
He's young, though.
Have smashed him.
Yeah. He's just a name.
Just said the name. There's no laws against it.
Well, he said he's a guy. And I could be wrong, but I feel like...
Not a person.
I feel like that was smash.
Yeah.
I guess think about Chase Horn, 97 kilos.
Yeah, Slim Horn.
What? Wow.
Yeah, Chase Horn and Tyree Houghton from NC State.
Yeah.
NC State's kind of got a situation like at 125 where they've had three or four guys who are pretty tough at heavyweight that could be definite national qualifiers probably somewhere else.
Pepot just stockpiles the bookends.
They always do. They always bring in huge recruiting classes.
Yeah, and then they're all good.
Don't always get like the top 10 type big border guys, but you look at places like 20 through 100, there's always a couple Wolfpackers.
They actually kind of, I feel like they do get a lot of the, I mean, the Hydleys were, and Arrington was pretty high up there. Ed Scott was pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Biskins was probably not top.
He was like a 20-ish.
Biskins was tough. He's good.
There. Yeah.
He's good.
I don't think he's going to make the lineup next year either.
Ryan Jack was a who's number one guy. Yeah, we'll see. Who else are they?
74 is pretty stacked, guys. A lot of good competitors here.
Yeah, hit it. Who you like?
Well, there's a lot. So we got Bearclaw, who I think he was he once? I think he was one spot out at U.S. Open. You got Julian Ramirez. You have, so USA Wrestling only has 10 per page, so I got to skip pages.
Yeah,
Yaya Thomas,
too.
Mm-hmm. Doug Zapp,
Chenzo,
Joey LaValle. Those are three really tough CEO guys. Josh Shields, he's placed at this US Open. Matt Bianchi, shout out Little Rock at AWA. Derek Gilcher's had good freestyle success. William Henkel, I think he's probably the number two
Seeley
ranked high school guy in his weight class. You got Seeley. Grigor, I always mess his last name up. He's going to Stanford. He's
Gillespie.
Really tough.
Jalakian.
Oh, okay.
Not that one. Charlie Millard.
He's making a run.
Isaiah White, Vincenzo Joseph. I mean, that's a lot of really scrappy.
And then Dean Hiles at the end of his career, but
he's at 74.
Yep.
Wait, no, he's not. Where?
No way.
He's in there.
He's that
big?
I think
he changed.
Did
he
change?
Listed 74 anymore.
Well, wait, 65?
People can change.
Wow.
You can change.
I'm worried the baby thinks people can't change, Shady.
Did we mention Julian Ramirez? I didn't hear it.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah.
I said that name. Yeah.
Wow.
Hmm.
Jeremiah Moody's still in the mix.
Stop.
Hey, guy has a win over Makai Lewis.
Can't take it away from him.
That's something to be proud of.
something you can hang your hat on.
Is this a injury default?
It's a real win. He gassed him like crazy. And
okay.
It was the year that Mackay won Junior Worlds. So he lost at the Open. And then
I remember that.
He
You're
won
right.
trials. Yes. And then he won Junior Worlds. And then he beat Vincenzo Joseph. And then he became a Hokie legend forever.
Some of those US Open results, juniors, are pretty fun to look at.
Yeah, there's
like Gabe Tagg beating RBY.
Oh yeah.
He beat everybody.
That was I sold some RBY stock. He lost to Gabe Tagg and he lost to
Did he lose to Decatur?
No, it was an Illinois kid who went to North Carolina also, I think.
Melinda
No, not Melendez. Hernandez? Was there Hernandez?
Jamie Hernandez.
Yes, I believe he lost to him, and I'm like, oh my god, I thought I was really expecting more, and I definitely sold my stock at that point.
Whoops.
Yeah, I know. Bad idea.
He didn't rebound from there.
He kind of rebounded. Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right. 65. A lot of fun here. Ready for this
one? Let's have some fun.
Tristan Moran.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, it's Ask Wrestling Academy. Let's go, Tristan. I'm cheering for him. Jordan Williams, Ian Parker, Jaden Ironman, Dean Heil at 65, not 74. Aiden Valencia, Carter Young, Wyatt Henson, Bo Bassett. Wow, lots of names here.
Aiden Valencia could win this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He is, I'm trying to recall, he was really good at senior nationals.
Yes.
He was right there. I forget who he was wrestling.
He beat Seth Gross, but then
he lost to Kolodzic at Farrell, who was also in Tokyo.
I'm blanking. Kolodzic whooped someone, but I kind of feel like it was DeSanto that he whooped in front of me. I got a few more names to add. Kolodzic, Ashnault, and Pearson Manville.
You know who else is on the list? Mikhail McGee up at 65 kilos, which is makes sense. He also is listed as Virginia Beach Regional Training Center.
Shout out.
So
back to went to ODU
for a couple of years. So some of these guys just forget to change their affiliations.
Tristan Moran's listed as AWAs.
He might as well be.
Are you gonna corner him?
I don't think we have anyone else at that weight class, so yeah, I will for sure. I love Tristan.
You have Tristan.
Yeah, I said I don't think I have any high school kids that I'm responsible for. Okay. So yes, I will corner him. If
you should just corner whoever you think's gonna win the match. That's pretty obvious. That's coaching 101, Ben. You got a lot to learn about this industry.
You're funny.
Thank you.
We'll not do that.
All right, fine. All right, 65. 65, I think, is probably the weight for me. And I think both those high schools, I think Bo, and Aiden Pearson's Valencia. In there too. He's good.
Pearson Manville.
But him taking some losses at Folk Nationals, even though not the same competition, but lower level.
Yes.
But yeah, Aiden and Bo, I think, are contenders. I don't know if either. I think Aiden probably has a better shot at winning. I think. I would love to see that match, though.
That'd be fun, right? Maybe you could convince the Cedars to put them next to each other.
I'm going
to
try.
Yeah, why not?
I think they're actually using the pin system.
You can't use that anymore. You can't.
Wait, why not?
You have to, because you have to explode it. You have to detonate it and send it into outer space. It seeded Luke Lilledahl ahead of Spencer Lee. You just can't do it.
That's fair.
You should use it for like youth tournaments, and you should use it for like, I don't, age.
Hold on. I'm actually going to defend it, Christian. I think it's going to get better. The reason Spencer was probably not high, as other people have, there's lack of matches, which I realize is dumb. I totally understand that. But a numerical system like this, if you get enough inputs, if you have enough matches, it will spit out a really good non-biased result.
No, not if you count junior results as same as senior results.
Correct. You can't do that.
It did that, though. If it does that, then
they're going to figure it out. I promise.
I'm putting that part in outer space. They can keep other parts, but it's already out there. It's in Alpha Centauri.
And for Olympic trials,
that's where I put it. It's gone.
I actually have faith. The numerical system is going to get it right. They have it in disc golf. They have it in chess. They have it in a lot of other places where the numerical system can actually get it right. And I really don't see a reason why they can't get it right here. It's just, you're just comparing matches. And so obviously you're going to have some overlap between say junior and senior and U20 and senior. And when you get enough inputs in the system, it's going to work itself out.
Yeah.
I generally speaking prefer computerized formulas like that to just people, men deciding, all right, here's what the seeds are.
I think men would do a better job.
No, without question. Not.
Yeah.
Eventually the answer is no. If we do it right.
Well, man is also making, also to say it's not man-made, it's like, no, a man is deciding what does and doesn't have value in this
system.
That
is true.
So it's,
or woman.
Thank you. Thank you, David. But man-made is just kind of, that's kind of like an all encompassing, but maybe you're right.
Yeah. No, I think with enough inputs, I mean, you could definitely get it right. Yeah. There was some that were really bad because we did with P&L last fall. We started with the pin rankings, right? And we made a list. And you saw some that were, and I think it was the kids who didn't have a crossover. Like, for example, maybe they only wrestled 14U, but they had a lot of success. And they had not bumped up in, you know, because if you're, say, you're a 14U, you could potentially do like a 15U at the U.S. Open or something like that. Mm-hmm. They had not bumped up, so they only had success against kids their own age bracket. And that did put them too high. So, I hopefully they are figuring out how to fix that issue.
It's a good, I like it as a starting point. And then it's like, okay, if you have it as a starting point, and then you're just like, all right, wait, Luke Lilledahl's the one seed here. Maybe something got a little messed up.
Which I believe that's what they're doing for Olympic trials. Penn's going to spit something out, but then there's a committee that will intervene.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just like a criteria part of it. I'm not exactly sure.
But they'll get better and better at it, for sure.
You know what's interesting?
And isn't the end-all be-all for Olympic trials.
In the vein of, I don't know, seeding, bracketing, Daniel Cormier let it slip on the broadcast that something that is true, which is that Carter Storace was originally the 7 seed, and they changed it. And they changed it not because they wanted to bump Carter down, but because they were like, hey, I think it was like Conigliaro. They're like, we should look at this. And when they changed Conigliaro, it jacked up Carter's thing, and then it shot Carter up from the 7 up to the 9, which is kind of an interesting thing to think
about.
Wait,
how would that happen? I wonder how, because actually it probably would have been much better.
Your machines.
Seven.
Well, they didn't like, and what did, here, let me look at this.
You would have to push him two notches down to get him to 9.
And well,
Conigliaro should not have been the 5. He went 0-2.
He was originally higher than that, I think, was what it was. Who was
really?
The 6? Rocco Welsh.
6
no.
was what Rocco.
Yeah, I think Conigliaro was originally like maybe he was the 3 or something even worse.
What?
It was something with Phil. And they changed it, and that shot up kind of everything, and it made it so that he was in so the highest Carter could go originally was 7, and so they kept him at 7, and then after they changed that one, Phil, that made it so the highest he could go was 9, and they literally there was no movement. But Daniel, I wasn't gonna say it, I wasn't gonna talk about it ever, but then if Daniel's talking about an ESPN, I can freaking talk about it here. So how interesting if he would have been the 7. That changes
that
everything.
Much better.
It's a different NCAA finals. It's probably Griffith.
Yes.
You
think Griffith? Oh, because Griffith beat Makai for third place.
Yeah.
But Makai might have been sad, so it might not have.
He might have been sad. I think for sure he was sad. And so I think it'd probably been Makai. Griffith was a dog this tournament. I mean, first of all, he made the semis, wrestled Storace pretty tough, and then wrestling back for third when he for sure was sad. But he made himself. He beat, and he had to beat DeVos, which is a tough match, and then he had to beat Makai.
Tough match.
So
mm-hmm.
He really beat all the good guys there that he could. Okay,
he was injured as well.
He was definitely injured, but tough guy, good career. I think it's done. Who's to say?
He's got private equity.
What's he gonna be when he grows up?
Private equity.
Private equity.
Private equity. Yeah,
oh,
bro.
My goodness.
All right. From private equity, what's next? What are they saying? What are these deviants in the chat saying, David? Anything?
Well, they're trying to figure out.
Oh, actually, the guy who's going to move to Wisconsin, I actually know him. They came to camp a bunch of times.
Okay.
Earlier.
All right.
Yes.
And you didn't hire him.
He was not applying for a job for me.
Oh, okay, got it.
You could have hired him anyway.
You could have hired him anyway. Hey, said, "Hey, I see someone. You see something in someone. You say, hey, this is good. You know what? There's something here."
Someone's talking about Tiger King, and that made me think. Someone asked me the other day what happened to the Master Giovanni's, and I have no idea. I'm guessing that maybe that transition is something that they bought. Well, remember, because one of them bought a zoo. Do you remember this?
Yes, Trevor. Trevor is a zoo. He's a zookeeper.
Tiger King in training.
Okay. Yeah.
He's about to run for political office, too.
So far, I don't think any of his coworkers or any of his employees have been eaten by the tiger. So he's already got a leg up on Joe Exotic, who is also incarcerated. Under false pretenses.
Travis Mastro is wrestling in Northern Colorado.
Yeah, he left. He's looking for bears.
But the reason the Tiger King came up is because the chat was trying to figure out the name of the documentary with the Palmer brothers. I think it's called Pinned. There's a little Tiger King element in there, too, because I think they wrestle bears. They, like, raise wild animals. So,
yeah.
It fits.
Yeah. I like that.
I would like to wrestle a bear. That would be fun. I mean, a declawed one, you know, but I just like to wrestle. I want to see what I could manipulate it. You know, if I could get a snap down or if I had to, you know, post to the far leg, low double, knock it on his butt, watch it roll around.
You ever watch the videos of like grizzly bears like fighting when they get up on their feet?
Yeah, when they do the like double swap move like this.
They're actually, yeah, it's kind of, there's some real wrestling.
I don't want that. I want just a nice, small declawed bear that wants to, you know, wrestle a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want a brown bear. I think you need a black bear.
It's a small one.
Black bears are dangerous.
Underhook, little, boom, put him on his back.
If a black bear did it when he was like 7, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could do it no problem.
Yeah, it'd probably be too easy. Need something bigger.
And that was, I think that was a little bear though. Just FYI.
Well, he was a little person at the time.
Yeah, it's fair.
Blake, I don't think you could cradle a bear because actually, you know, I tried to do this my dog also.
Yeah, you like, can't cradle dogs.
There's like not a notch there. There's not in, there's nothing to get your arm stuck on. So this pop out.
It's the hip. Time. It's the leg for me. It's too. That's what always slips out.
Well, I would go around the body. So I'd go like around the hip.
You're all trying like, to cradle both, your dogs.
You know, like yeah, you try near side yeah, cradle.
Rough them up. Yeah, yeah, they like to battle.
They do like to battle. Dogs are suckers for quadruple legs, though.
This guy, quadruple. I'm gonna tell you what. Don't let Bray around your dog because he's so crazy. Bobby, our dog, he wants to battle, but I don't want to get back. Bray will battle him. When Bray comes over, that dog is freaking out. He wants to fight the whole time. He's ready.
He does.
Throw down.
Yeah. He's a good, he's a worthy opponent.
He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Got that dog in him.
He literally, that's one of the main things.
You should see the x-ray of his rib cage. Dog inside.
Oh, someone messed that up in wrestling Twitter this year. Like he said he's got a dog. I forget how they did. Oh, but then they put the person. They said I think it was Gabe Arnold. They said that Gabe was it Gabe?
I don't know.
I think it said Gabe Arnold's got that dog in him, but then it was the x-ray of Gabe Arnold inside the lungs. It's like, no, Gabe Arnold's not actually a dog. You're supposed to show the lungs, and it's a dog in it. You're supposed to say that's an x-ray of Gabe Arnold.
But what if the person was so tough that the dog has the whomever in them, right?
Okay.
Now we do an x-ray of a dog with someone in their lungs.
That's maybe that's what they were doing.
It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of Gabe Arnold in the dog's lungs.
In the dog's lungs. Rib cage.
And that was memeing 101.
That was memeing. This is how to meme. Okay.
Questions?
Sure. Yeah, let's get to them. If there's any in the chat, please.
I feel like it's been like a month since we answered any questions.
I know. Me. No questions, Your Honor. All right, let's get to some of them. Yeah. I've got it on my phone. I'm not texting. I'm looking.
Mm-hmm.
Someone forgot that Zahid got suspended.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
Oh, this is a funny question right here.
Okay.
Criteria, fan of Criteria. Do you think Kale pops some champagne every year when the last freshman loses like the 72 Dolphins?
I don't think so. I think
he wants his guys to win.
Yeah.
It is a funny thought.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're probably speaking nationally, but yes, like in this year, for example, it would have been Mitchell. Unfortunately, so
the thing is, he's always going to have a couple things. One, he's the first undefeated. Second, he will probably have nearly double the matches of any of these other, all these other people. They wrestle 20 matches a year.
Yeah, they're going to get to maybe 100.
Yeah, maybe 100. Yeah. I mean, Aaron Brooks had 5 seasons and didn't have 100 matches.
That's freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, so he'll always have 159, and his bonus rate will always be probably unchallenged. But yeah, he doesn't give me
the
vibe.
Well, I disagree with the bonus rate. I think people are way more likely to get the bonus rate than they are the matches, because bonus is significantly easier. Remember, Tech Falls went up by, like, what was it, 100%? No, more than 100% this year. It's 120% or something.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm thinking pins and techs. He still had a lot of pins. Still got to put the shoulders on the mat, and the ref slaps it.
Yeah.
There's no change
pins
in that.
Pins are for people who aren't skillful enough to do that.
Pins?
I'm sorry, tech falls are for people who are not skillful enough pin people.
And Ben, yes, there you go. All right, someone put a question up there. I saw it momentarily.
I saw someone putting it on the screen.
Somebody was asking about – somebody's asking for insights on the coaching positions at Central Michigan and Buffalo.
I think Central Michigan's going internal. It sounds like they're hiring Ben Bennett. That's just rumor mill. No idea about.
I mean, we heard John Reeder a bunch, but now.
Everyone just said it. Everyone just kept saying it, but.
Well, I'm sure there's a reason it was said in the first.
Well, I heard
is anything that, more than he's just from Michigan.
I had heard they hadn't reached out, that he hadn't spoken to him.
Zeke Jones is from Michigan. Maybe he's in the mix.
Zeke Jones, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe you give Kale a call.
It is kind of sad that Casey. I mean, I know Casey loves where he's at right now. But it does just seem like such a perfect opportunity. Casey Cunningham goes back to the place where he was, I believe, Borelli's first national champion, and maybe the first national champion at Central Michigan, takes over the program. He's, you know, been this longtime amazing assistant coach to Kale, and, you know, then strikes out his own. It would be fun to watch him attempt to have that high level success.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't think Central Michigan's even fully funded. I think they have like 5 or 6 scholarships or something. So I don't think he'd step into that.
Well, he could just take some of that NLWC money on the way out and golden.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that's called stealing. Actually, that's a strategy that some coaches have used. Just, you know, hey, well, I raised it for this school, but I'm going to go to this school and I'm going to take some of them dollars with me. It's not a bad idea.
It's like they're like recruits.
Feel steely, but, you know, I'm not one to judge. Yes, I am. All right.
How about Buffalo? Any idea on Buffalo?
No, I know they're looking. They just formed like a search committee like Friday or Saturday. So I don't know. And Buffalo's potential is I'm curious like how good it can be. It seems like it certainly can do better than it has been. And it was probably time for a change there. But yeah, I don't know who's interested. Do you look at someone like Donnie Vincent, who's kind of from that sort of area in New York? He may be ready for a job like that. You think of someone with New York ties, but yeah, I don't know. That's just my thoughts.
Is this going to be a big carousel year?
I don't know.
Will this set off dominoes?
Man, it felt like.
Doesn't feel like it yet.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be that. Everyone's talking about a big domino, but I don't think it's happening. If it was happening, I think it would have happened.
I kind of agree.
Yeah. So, okay, next question.
What else we got
next
here?
Next topic.
I mean, really, Avery Lynch wants to know if Vito has become the official king of Space Mountain.
I feel like Vito
is really good.
The lows have to be lower.
Yeah.
But yes, lows got to be lower. You lost to Ryan Crookham. Like, he's probably going to be a 3-time champ. Come on.
Well, relax on that. But
all right. He has the possibility to be – he'll be number one ranked going into next year, et cetera.
Yeah. I think
– I mean, he definitely will be.
It still kind of is, though. Because look at his approach in his matches, his two losses. Look at his approach in that. And just look at what he did at NCAAs. He's like – he just, like, decided I'm Vito and – he smoked Crookham. Like, it
Major.
Was not competitive. It was so different. that I don't know. It's kind of when the level is that high, he was so clearly the best guy in a really tough weight. To man, we were talking about Caiorini. Those were like, is this a match? Is he going to be able to get? You know, we weren't talking about the semi. We're like, is this going to end bad? Right?
Really? I think I picked him to lose in the semi and the injury default out because we thought there was injury. We thought there was injury, but then
That was the thing.
I don't think there was any injury. I don't know.
I think there was, but I think I don't know. He just overcame it.
Hey, hi. You know what I just looked at, which seems mind-boggling because we're talking about Space Mountain. I think. Does McKee have another year?
No.
Or no?
He put an Instagram post out about how his career is over.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's probably king of Space Mountain, though. Forever. Yeah.
But did his highs ever get high enough? Because that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
I guess he got third.
But were the lows low enough for Vito?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His highs got higher.
But the floor... It's a lot higher.
It's the distance.
I think Space Mountain is a guy who has insane pinning capabilities, but then can lose a match by
like a Rogotsky. Would be a great example.
Yeah. Like he literally
Pinnacle just making those Space Mountain characters.
Yeah. Love the fight. Love the roller coaster. Love Cedar Point. These are all things they could put on their shirts. Was someone asking like about the toughest weight or something like that?
We talked about that last week.
Okay.
You know, I thought this was an interesting question, and actually I have an opinion on it. We've had Neutral Danger for a stretch of years now. Any thoughts on the adoption of Neutral Danger? Originally, I thought it would open up all new creative techniques to trap opponents in danger. It does. People just don't use it. They're not creative enough, but it seems to have been less impactful than I had imagined. So it is very, it has very much been less impactful to the point where like there's a lot of times where I feel like it's neutral danger. And I think it happens so infrequently that the refs just forget to start counting. Like they're not counting neutral danger. And then someone says, oh, neutral danger. And then they're like, oh, boom. And then it's like 4 seconds later, you know?
I don't know. I feel like it's had a huge impact on wrestling. And I think just the counts alone, I disagree. I do think they are.
Really?
Just generally like maybe a second late in when they start it. But I feel like it's pretty rare they're just like not counting it. And I think
there was a few times where it was like apparent to me that someone was on his back and the ref, for whatever reason, had not started counting at all.
Yeah. But what I'll say is like just because a neutral danger zone takedown isn't called doesn't mean it doesn't ultimately lead to the takedown. Just like the Bo Bartlett Mendez example, like – not even their first match, actually, second. Like, Bo was going to give up neutral danger at the end of the match at NCAA, so he bailed out, right? So it was a regular takedown, but it was going to be a neutral danger zone takedown, ultimately. He was on his back, and they were counting, but then he just kind of had to bail on the position.
Yeah.
So I think it contributes to a lot of takedowns. I think I've seen, I don't know. I love it. I think it's a great rule. I think mostly officiated correctly. I think there were a lot of, this is going to be a disaster. It's going to go so bad. I think it's gone fine. I think it's been good.
And it's kind of like what you're saying. People have adapted their counters and offense or whatever so that you don't get put in neutral.
Yeah.
Danger. It has had an effect for sure.
Yeah. I like it.
It seems like the impact too is like if you get neutral danger wrong as an official, maybe the guy was in neutral danger for 4 seconds and you only swiped it twice or whatever, where there used to be 30, 40 seconds of guys just hanging out on their backs.
Yeah, that's true.
That is the part that it's eliminated. And that's, I think wrestling is much better for that.
Yeah, I agree.
Do we need to adapt a top danger?
What does that mean?
Top. As in if you're in the top position, get into a scramble, you roll on your back. Should there be something where you can't hang out there? Because I saw that a couple times.
I feel like that happens very infrequently because obviously you don't have the ability to lock your hands, so you can't hang on quite as well. You could lock through the crotch, of course. I don't see that being an issue.
Yeah. The one weird, sort of in that vein, JD, I think we might have talked about it last week on the show, But the idea, I think Tyler brought it up. But like, you're on top, and then the guy's working from bottom, and he ends up on like a standing single leg, but the other guy's earning riding time. It is kind of like a weird, like.
That's weird. Well, that's where we came to the conclusion last week that, or whenever it was, just like rear standing is a reversal, I think foot in the air should be a reversal.
Oh, that would like, be
if
cool.
If you get their foot in the air, it should be a reversal. Yes, it's not Tate Junkin to hear it. Neither is rear standing, but they're both their reversals.
I don't know how
you're obviously in more control than they are.
It's kind of a
point.
Cool idea.
But I don't know how I feel about different criteria for a reversal versus a takedown. Like, but if you get somebody's foot up in the air, that's not a takedown.
Or at a minimum.
Rear standing's not a takedown.
Well, maybe I kind of have an issue with that.
At a minimum, it seems like you should. Yeah, why? Yeah, why? And then I got something to say, too.
Because why is one considered control, quote unquote, and one isn't? Like, seems like it should be, if it's a takedown, it should be a reversal. If it's a reversal, it should be a takedown. If it's not, then it's not. Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, but then obviously, so if someone were to say, you know, stand up on bottom and the top person has rear standing, you wouldn't say that person does not have control. You would say that person does have control, which I would guess would make your argument to it should be a takedown. And that's probably, I would probably like find that argument to be more compelling than the other way. That
okay. Yeah. Not. I don't necessarily think standing up with locked hands, but both guys are still standing should be a takedown, but yeah, good point. That shouldn't be a reversal and escape either. I don't know. I got
to
think about it.
Because you can't call it an escape. If I have your foot in the air, you can't call it an escape because then I'm so close to a takedown also. So then I would get an escape and a takedown. That wouldn't make sense. But you could call it a reversal, right? You could call it a reversal and start switching riding time and whatnot.
I kind of like that situation specifically how it is, where I feel like a lot of times you get to the leg and you go out of bounds. They call it escape. But they let you work for the reversal.
Yeah.
Yeah, but meantime, so if you're on the mat, not reversal. If you have the leg in the air, specifically the leg is up in the air, then that's a reversal.
But I don't think, again, I don't think that's control, quote, all right, unquote.
Okay.
But it seems obviously you would say the person on the leg has more control than the person with the leg in the air. You would say that for sure.
Yeah, which is why I like it where they call escape. When you
they don't call it escape, they don't call it escape there unless they go out of bounds. So you could be hopping around for 20 seconds and the bottom, the person who has the leg in the air is still getting riding time, which is preposterous. So then you're essentially forcing the single legger to let go of the leg, right? And avoid a reversal attempt or continue to give up ride time.
It could be like stalling where you stop riding time.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Stop riding time.
You could do that. Yes. I would be okay with that.
All right. PSU over awesome. Or under 150 next year?
My initial thought is over because they bring back a lot of guys minus Aaron, but then you toss in maybe a Shane Van Ness.
But how many more points? I mean, I think
Aaron scored a lot.
No. Kasek scored like 20 points, 21.
Yeah, how much more could they get at that weight class?
So you bring in Van Ness.
That's what I'm saying. They don't lose points at that weight.
All right. But
they're going to lose points likely. I think you're probably saying at 74, 84, 97 is where they lose a bunch of points. They have to make those points up somewhere else. How are they going to make those points up?
Well, I think 125 and 133 were good weights where they did not get NCAA production. You would expect that not to repeat with whoever they're using, whether it's Luke, Braden, Aaron, between those two weights. 41, you expect similar. 49, you expect similar. 57, 65, however they do it, you're expecting 20-plus points there. And then it's if Carter comes back.
They got 5 points at 25 and 33 total, Christian. Yeah. And at 74 through 97, they got 59 and a half. So they have to figure out what they're doing there. I mean, obviously, if Carter comes back, it's easier. But if not, that's a lot of points.
Yeah. It's a cop-out, but I'll say they get – I mean, 150 is pretty rarefied. They've done it a few times. But yeah. I think they probably – they're. I think it's a good number. I would guess they get it because I think Greg comes back, Bo comes back, And, you know, Carter's a huge loss. That's 20 some points, but I think there's a good.
He got 20.
But I'm betting.
I got 27.
I think he comes back. Like, why can't you talk Carter into a second semester thing?
I mean, part of the thing would be if, you know, Carter already naturally wants to move on, and maybe you're going to go. You could go a few different ways with this, but maybe you go Kasach, Van Ness, Mitchell, Haynes. That's 49, 57, 60, right? I mean, like, there's kind of a few different ways you could go with that. You know, you have a bunch of guys in there. I mean, you have Seeley in there also, who's not even starting. Probably have Bearclaw. You could put Bearclaw, who's really good. So I was talking about 49 through 74. Yeah. You know, 84 could be Barr or Ryder potentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's 49 through 74. You have plenty of guys to fill those spots.
Get Mirasola, gets you some big NCAA points in there, 97.
NCAA. I mean, yeah, it's like, I don't know if he'll start. He's really good. I put a video of me working. We had one of those Saturday morning practices. Oh, he's getting so much stronger. We did this drill where you go baseline gut defense, where they're trying to squeeze as hard as they can, you know, going one way, and you're not trying to turn you over, just squeeze as hard as they can. The other guy's just D-ing them up, you know, and you hold for, you know, 10 seconds, then switch direction, hold for 10 seconds just to kind of get that baseline position stronger. His mug squeezed me so hard. I didn't want to be a baby about it, but I'm like, oh my God, I hate my life right now. I swear my organs are going to explode or something. Like, I haven't been squeezed like this in a lot of years. It's been a long time since I got squeezed like this. This dude is so ridiculously strong right now.
How much like weight training do the twins do? Is that proprietary?
I don't know. I think they just go lift rocks or smash trees or something.
Hockey Four style.
Yeah, they just do the old school.
I don't know. I'm sure they lift some weights somewhere.
Does Aiden lift?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's our strength coach.
Okay.
We don't really get much into the strength and conditioning. Well, we run a strength and conditioning program for the younger kids. We have one of those at, I think, 3 locations, and maybe we'll do more at some point. But for the high school kids, they mostly have they get their own coaches.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's very something.
I liked this question kind of in the Penn State vein. Prime Bo Nickel versus prime Aaron Brooks. Who wins?
I thought we talked about this one time, man. We did. And Christian got mad at me for saying Bo Nickel had a good chance.
I don't think I got mad. I maybe disagreed. Well, I think an easy thing you can do, they're both kind of similarly dominant their senior years. Bo probably more dominant, but probably didn't get. I don't know if he gave up a takedown. He may have. Aaron didn't, but doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. I think where are they at the world level at that point in time, right? It feels like Aaron is higher world class than Bo was. Was a U23 world champion, I think, after his senior year, but he lost to Jaden at Final X, which
Jaden was a bronze or gold that year.
Huh?
Did he win bronze or gold?
In 2019, Jaden won.
So he lost to a world champion.
World champion. Kind of.
And then he lost to David Taylor.
Jaden controlled it, but it was not we weren't blowouts. It's not that Jaden really blows anyone out.
Yes.
And so, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I just have a hard time. My thing is, and what I kept coming back to is, I don't think they ride each other, right?
Okay.
And I don't think Bo can take down Aaron. And I think Aaron probably gets one.
One takedown.
Yeah. How does Bo Nickel, he's got to win a scramble.
Headlock.
Or a headlock.
Can we say in this scenario they are not familiar with each other? So you toss out like the whole, they work out and they're
At that point, I wonder how familiar they really were.
Prime Aaron is not familiar with. But,
is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So I'm saying Aaron doesn't have that familiarity because Bo can kind of present some funky, weird things. He's got big move potential. Mm-hmm.
And I think that Aaron's similarly. I think Aaron's, like, hand fighting and pressure he puts on is something that, like, you do need to experience it to learn how to deal with it. Like, that was one thing Miles Amin said. Like, he's like, it's weird like the pressure he can put on with his hand fight. And that was something he had to adjust to. So I don't know. I think Aaron was probably what I thought, and I think that's still my conclusion. But I don't know. I mean, Bo's one of the best to ever do it, for sure.
Maybe it's just recency. I feel like I lean Aaron, but it's 51-50, I feel like, percent. I'm not feeling strong about it.
Yeah. It'd be a great match.
What is it about Bo Nickel that allowed him to force people to engage in, like, high-risk positions that they normally wouldn't?
I don't know.
Pressure?
Yeah.
And he lets it fly?
Yeah, but he wasn't, like, a big, like, come out, leg attack a bunch of guys, like Nolf was or Mitchell is or whatever. But if it was just an exchange, it was like he's gonna win the exchange every time. He's gonna out scramble. Yeah. He's gonna whatever. He's great upper body. Two of his losses were like from upper body positions to Miles that were sort of weird. He got body locked at Big Tens, so you're just kind of looking for vulnerabilities. And honestly, you think about the Marcus Coleman win, that's kind of like a Bo Nickel kind of like. You would call it a junk move, but like Bo made junk moves very cool and successful and work for him. So I don't know.
Yes.
Going back, like Bo didn't have a Marcus Coleman type of loss in his career.
He did not.
It is so crazy. I don't really want to relitigate it, but the
relitigate
how quickly you put Aaron Brooks ahead of Logan Stieber is just crazy to me. Like Logan was so much more dominant. I feel like he beat way better fields. He beat Jordan Oliver, Tony Ramos, Zane Rutherford to win three of his NCAA titles. And on top of some other really good guys, like I thought you were way, way too dismissive. And it honestly betrayed your own perspective on dominance.
Listen, you stop your words right now. You stop your words. You guys, let's rehash this. This wasn't, hey, Ben had, you know, a day to come up with a list. This was, someone asked, JD and Christian were too scared.
I gave mine.
And Ben, off the cuff, listed his seven four-time champions. Yeah. That's what happened. I didn't stare at it for an hour to look at the sheet and look at all the stats and look at it because I might have came up with a different answer. I may not have. I don't know. This was, you guys, you were fearful, you were scared, you were cowardly.
Don't let me in with this.
I came
mine.
Out. As the brave,
I like JD being scared too.
Of FRL, who would make the list?
In fact, I gave mine before you. I gave mine on the watch party.
No, you did not.
I did too.
Not. Go rewind the show. You did not.
Watch party doesn't count. Whatever said there doesn't count. Yeah, and even if you sing a song on the watch party, it doesn't count either.
Yep. Watch party does not count.
When they say hot mic, you gotta be aware.
Hot mic. All right, there's other questions in here. Oh, yeah, the new Roadhouse. We talked about that. Is there any concern that the larger Mirasola won't grow into a good size heavy? How big he going to get?
You know what? I don't know. I'll see him in a few days. His dad keeps telling me. I saw his dad yesterday or maybe Saturday. I don't know. I saw his dad just recently. And he said he's gotten bigger, took a couple of vacation, said he got bigger. We'll see how big he is.
You know,
he's already like 215. So, I mean, like. What does he got to get to be 230 to be, you know, Kassar was an NCAA champ at 230, right? I mean, it's not that much bigger.
It was a big concern with Feldman for really during different parts of the year. We were like, is he going to be big enough? It's something where it feels like experience really helps if you're undersized too. Like you kind of figure out the pitfalls and whatnot. It feels like 230 is where you got to get to.
Kurt Angle won one at 209. He's bigger than that.
Yeah, with a broken freaking
neck.
We have to say he had a broken neck in all of his competitions.
When were the last really good set of twins in NCAA wrestling?
Ooh,
we've seen good brothers, even Terry, recently too, but twins.
Paulsons, yeah. I think that's going to be the answer.
Yeah, there you go.
Because
you'd say Altons did not achieve a high enough level of success. I mean, they were obviously really good.
Only one All-American between the two.
That's crazy, right?
It is so crazy because they were really good.
What other? Mother's worst nightmare.
I could think of worse things, but.
No, this is rock bottom. Yeah, I can't think of, I mean, The Steiners and the Brands were obviously great. Who was good between them? Steiners, Brands, or were there other twins? Do we have to wait for
Bannocks?
Bannocks?
That was older. We keep
Are they
back.
Twins? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
yeah,
twins.
Our twins. Those twins, they were successful.
And there was one other Bannock who's not a twin.
Yeah, right? Maybe. You're the historian.
I believe there's three Bannocks. Two of them are twins. One is not.
Lou and Ed are the twins.
Who?
Lou and Ed Bannock.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Huh.
I believe. Yeah, Gable got lucky getting all them twins.
Yeah, that helped.
Hey, that's a smart play.
Two at a time.
A lot of times you get one, you get both. We're two for one.
Were the Willits brothers twins or no?
Yes, they're twins. Because, they're twins.
We've got the Stennis.
The Witts
right
were
now.
Twins, right?
Right.
Who?
I'm pretty sure Evan and Xander are twins.
Oh.
Am I wrong on this? Not identical.
You're
not
right.
Identical.
Yep.
They're twins?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I thought they were so different eligibility wise.
Oh, I should ask Evan. I feel terrible.
Well, at least we're not live. It's cool.
We're not live. No one's listening to us.
No
right
one's
now.
Listening. I kind of feel like they're
I
not twins.
Feel like they were.
It's a you can anything you say that's wrong today, you can just say it's April Fool's.
I was joking. Yeah, I was kind of thinking it's kind of that we probably should have done something better for April Fool's.
Yeah,
but we did not.
I was honestly worried. I was like, I'm very prankable and they're jerks and they may do an April Fool on me, but
I should have got one.
But they didn't, so it's good. All right, there was another question. Hold on. So Mirasola,
which other one, Joe?
He's only 215 right now. I got to get a little bigger, but he'll go to the creamery a bunch.
Really, that's all of them. I think we accomplished our task, and we're 4 minutes early. And then I'm not ranking the Indiana National Champions. Sorry, not doing it. Chris will yell at me some more.
Wow.
They're twins.
You know what
I will get FRL. I will get JB and Bo on together, too. If Christian would let me, I would get them on here to settle the differences.
Yeah. Open invitation to those two if they want to come on. They will not. Hold on.
The Wicks are twins. I'm confirming it right now.
All right, they're twins. Yep. All right, okay. That's
I thought so.
They're twins.
You know what I'll say about Indiana? Now, I don't know if it's just CJ Kemp just berates us about Indiana all the time. It could be that. But in my mind, I feel like, and David could probably confirm this, but I feel like Indiana is one of those states that's got like crazy state pride. They're always, I feel like they always are like, they feel like they're kind of slept on as like an elite wrestling state, which it absolutely is.
They're not an elite wrestling state.
Okay.
Listen, they're second tier. They are second tier.
Oh my gosh.
Wisconsin is second tier. We're trying to work our way to that first tier. But you would not put Indiana in the first tier of wrestling states. There's no way.
I apologize to Indiana. You're not first tier.
Don't apologize. We apologize for nothing.
Yeah, and I'm not sorry.
Get better.
Yeah, get better, Indiana. Yeah, joke state. It's not even as good as Virginia, honestly. In terms
even Wisconsin's second tier. We're trying to move up into that first tier. That's our goal. We did pretty well this year. We're going to continue to keep doing that so you guys think we're first tier. But, yeah, I mean, it's so first tier, you got probably – now, I'm going to offend someone, but that's like my job, right? So PA is definitely first tier. California, Ohio, New Jersey. Those four are definitely first tier. I think I probably would consider putting Illinois in there, maybe Minnesota in there. I'd maybe think about New York a little bit. Yeah, those are probably where I'd go with my first tier. Yeah,
obviously, just neglecting
right,
per capita.
Yeah, I hate
right after that, you probably got Iowa,
Virginia,
Wisconsin, Indiana's probably getting in there right after that. All you know, somewhere in that second tier. Yeah,
are you hearing me? Virginia, you keep not.
No. That's
you,
last
you
tier.
Keep
tier
you
last.
Keep not saying Virginia, and it feels intentional. Like
thing is, yeah, Virginia.
That's like
I will say they have more state champions than anyone else.
More state champions. More state champions. Okay, that's a criteria. Also, more presidents. Which that has to count for something. That's the ultimate wrestling
like
match.
The only state for they existed for a while or something.
Well, history is on our side.
I don't think that was ever true, but
yeah, there's yeah. I don't know. We'd have to go back and study it all. All right, we'll go. It's 10:00. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back Thursday. We'll be here one day before I head to the great state of Virginia. An elite wrestler.
Oh, you're going too.
Oh, I'm going, baby.
Last chance, baby.
Yeah, we're going to party. Go. It's going to be so fun. But I'll But before I leave, we'll do the show on Thursday. It could be very fun. JD will be here. Ben will be here. I don't know if Bray will be here. It could be Kozak. It won't be Tyler. Tyler is in Japan. He's having a time. That's all we can really say is it's a time. And he can come back and report on that next week. Thank you guys so much. Hope you have a great Monday. Happy April Fools. Hope you guys had a great Easter yesterday. And see you next time. Goodbye. We'll be right back.